Modern Love, the podcast, is supported by...
In celebration of the Trinity Collection's 100th anniversary, this podcast is supported by Cartier.
Produced by the iLab at WBUR, Boston.
From the New York Times and WBUR Boston, this is Modern Love. Stories of love, loss, and redemption. I'm your host, Meghna Chakrabarty. Communication, respect, intimacy, even doing the dishes. These are all things that, at one time or another, you've been told are the secret to a happy marriage. But Gabrielle Zevin has a different idea. Her essay is, "The Secret to Marriage is Never Getting Married." It's read by Sandra Oh, who's just been nominated for an Emmy for her role in BBC America's Killing Eve. She also starred for 10 seasons on Grey's Anatomy.
I am often asked if I am married. Sometimes I lie and say that I am. Sometimes I lie and say that I am not. Neither answer feels entirely truthful to me. If I say I am not married, the true answer, people occasionally try to set me up with their offspring. They seem to think I would be a great daughter-in-law. Actually, I would be a great daughter-in-law. I send thank you cards. I am a terrific conversationalist. I can bake a pie. I met the man I am not married to the second week of college. "You're wearing black," Hans said. "I'm wearing black." This was said with some irony. We were standing in a black box theater. Everyone was wearing black. He had a girlfriend, so we didn't get together until several months later. We have been together ever since, 21 years. A year before I met Hans, a relative of his opened a credit card in his name and charged the better portion of another relative's wedding on it. And then she forgot to pay the bill. For years. Forever, actually. Hans didn't find out until 2 years after the crime, when he was applying to graduate school. Even after making arrangements to pay off the debt, his credit was ruined and he couldn't get student loans. The credit card company told him the only way to clear his credit would be to take the relative to court. "Identity theft is a serious crime," the company said, and she could possibly go to jail. Hans wouldn't do it because the woman had a child and he didn't want the child to grow up without a mother. I like that about him. He was in his early 20s and less than poor. But what difference did it make? He was a person of integrity. And we were in love. We had been together 6 months. It can be awkward to describe the situation to people I don't know. They tend to ask follow-up questions. "Why didn't you just clear the credit cards and then get married?" "Why didn't I?" I say lightly. The answer is... many reasons. Because I was 18 when I met him and didn't know how long the relationship would last. Because it was a lot of money and I was embarrassed to ask my parents for help. Because neither of us had regular jobs and we both wanted to be artists more than we wanted to be married people. Because one of us needed good credit in order to rent apartments and charge groceries. Because by the time we had the means to make honest people of ourselves, we felt as if we had been together too long to bother. But I don't say these things. "Don't you like weddings?" someone will ask. I love weddings. The odd mix of religion, government, and pageantry moves me. It's like theater, but with real people. I have been to weddings. I have seen the white dresses. I have worn the bridesmaid's dress. I have smelled the roses. I have never caught the bouquet, but I have watched its trajectory with enthusiasm. I have heard the wedding band play "Shout" and I have gotten a little bit louder now. I have shopped the registries, and I have sent the pasta makers, the towels, the knives, the vases. I am comfortable with the fact that as a person who has no plans to marry, I will not receive the pasta maker, the towel, the knives, or the vase in return. Hans and I have been together a long time, and for better or for worse, we have those things already. My accountant recently broached the subject of marriage with me. He has been my accountant for the last 13 years, and I feel as if he's my second most important long-term relationship. We were discussing whether I should consider getting married now. I said, "It feels like it's been too long." I guess because I'm turning 40 this year, he said, "Well, there are reasons to be married when you're old." The reasons fell largely into two categories: what happens when I die, and what happens if I get sick and then die. Once, on the way back from Japan, a customs agent was furious at Hans and me for sharing a checked suitcase when we weren't related. We were not family, which meant we needed to speak to customs separately. So, how to deal with the problem of a shared suitcase? What was a customs agent to do? "Well, you see," I remember saying, "when he was in college, a relative opened up this credit card and..." Basically, this encapsulated the reason to get married at this peaceful midpoint of our lives. Because as you get old, per my accountant, life becomes a series of skirmishes with customs agents. I know he's right. At this point, though, the math bothers me. I don't want to start over again at year one. I worry that if Hans and I were to get married now, it would somehow be like saying the last two decades didn't count. I have had four dogs with the man I am not married to. I have dedicated several of my books to him, but really they all could be. He is my most important reader and creative collaborator. We have traveled the world with one suitcase. We have cooked more than 100 Blue Apron meals without killing each other. We have shared a dozen different addresses. We have built a life. But we are not married. We live in California, which means we are not even common law married. Some time ago, we had not been married for 15 years. When we had an apartment by Riverside Park in New York, Hans woke up, looked out the window, and said, with boyish, almost biblical conviction, "Everything is telling me that's Kristen Schaal." She was on one of our favorite shows, The Flight of the Conchords. We went down to walk our dog, and the woman was still sitting in the park. It was not Kristen Schaal. It could not have been less Kristen Schaal. And now, we say this to each other all the time. "Everything is telling me that's Kristen Schaal." It's amazing how often this can be worked into conversation. This won't be funny to anyone but the man I am not married to. Our friends recently got divorced. They had been together as long as we had, and I had thought they were happy. But you can never know what goes on between two people. I asked her, "What percentage of time would you say you were happy?" 20%, she said. Several weeks later, she revised her estimate. "Maybe 2%. "Two?" I said. "How can a person live in a state of 2% happiness?" "Perhaps 3%, she revised again. Hans and I are happy together most of the time. We have the usual domestic squabbles. Our most frequent argument ends with him throwing up his hands and saying, "I'm not a handyman." Sometimes I think the secret to a long and happy marriage is never to get married in the first place. Although there are surely married couples that are as happy as we are. Not long ago, when a woman asked me the marriage question, I stumbled on what I believe to be the correct answer. I have been with the same man for more than two decades, but I am not sure either of us believes in marriage. I felt clever for stating my situation so concisely. Belief, she scoffed. Belief is for little children and Santa Claus. She was right. It's just words to say I don't believe in marriage. Having stayed with a person for more than 20 years, I must believe in marriage. I must believe that life is better in a pair than it is single. When I say I don't believe in marriage, what I mean to say is this. I understand the financial and legal benefits, but I don't believe the government or a church or a department store registry can change the way I already feel and behave. Because when the law doesn't bind you as a couple, you have to choose each other every day. And maybe the act of choosing changes a relationship for the better. But successful married people must know this already. I wake up in the morning and I look at Hans and I think, I love you. I choose you above any other person. I chose you 21 years ago and I choose you today. I believe you to be a constant in my life and I a constant in yours. Loving you is the closest thing I have to faith. Everything is telling me that's Kristen Schaal.
Sandra Oh, reading Gabrielle Zevin's essay, The Secret to Marriage is Never Getting Married. We'll catch up with Gabrielle after the break.
In celebration of the Trinity Collection's 100th anniversary, this podcast is supported by Cartier.
My name is Thomas Gibbsneff. I'm a journalist at the New York Times. I served in the Marine Corps as an infantryman. When it comes to reporting on the front line, a lot of the same basics are at play. You're looking at the map of where you're going. If you're on a paved road, field roads, you know, is there a hospital nearby? Is your body armor affixed with the first aid kit? Does everyone know where that first aid kit is? We arrive into a military position. I get out of the car. I look at my watch. You know, I set a timer, no more than an hour. I'm listening for drones, jets, check in with the team. Is everyone comfortable? And if they are, then we proceed. Frontline reporting is dangerous, but I think nothing is more important than talking to the people involved, you know, hearing their stories and being able to connect that with people thousands of miles away. Anything that can make something like this more personal, I think, is well worth the risk. New York Times subscribers make it possible for us to keep doing this vital coverage. If you'd like to subscribe, you can do that at nytimes.com/subscribe.
Gabrielle Zevin says that despite the title of her piece, she really isn't anti-marriage.
The funny thing about all of it is that I think if all things had been different, if, you know, the relative hadn't stolen money from Hans or opened credit cards in his name, I think we probably would have just gotten married. So I think some people, when they read the piece, didn't maybe understand that the piece is written with some sadness. You know, this has been my life, but am I saying this is the optimal way? Not necessarily. I'm not giving anybody any advice. I'm just really reporting how I have lived my life.
But Gabrielle knew that sharing her story would open her up to some criticism. And she did hear from readers who took issue with the fact that she and Hans weren't married.
A lot of people did write me to tell me that, in fact, I had ruined my life. That the moment that I got sick, Hans would leave me for sure. And the moment he got sick, I would be out the door. But of course, the reality of that is that he or I could be out the door even if we were married. Not everybody who is married behaves wonderfully when something horrible happens, you know. And when you think about it, getting married in a church doesn't come with any more guarantees than my just choosing him did.
People also emailed Gabrielle to tell her that because she didn't have children, she shouldn't have an opinion about marriage.
Which I think is really sad because my life probably, I'm 40 years old, will not have children in it. And so I actually feel very sorry for people who think the only reason to have a long-term relationship or to get married is for the children.
Gabrielle says that in some ways, her modern love piece served the same function as a wedding might have.
You know, it's a very weird thing to say, but it's kind of true. If you think about it, a really good thing about a wedding is that you get to gather all of your loved ones and people that are important in your life and say, this person means so much to me. And so we didn't have one of those, but I did get to say in the New York Times, which a few people still read, that this person is really important to me in my life.
For now, Gabrielle and Hans are still happily unmarried, but she says they're open to possibilities down the line.
You know, as you get older, it apparently makes everything easier in life. So I do think at some point we might get married, but it'll just kind of be like a very emotional trip to the DMV. That's about how it will feel to me.
That's Gabrielle Zevin. She's the author of 9 novels and lives in Los Angeles with her partner, Hans. More after the break.
In celebration of the Trinity Collection's 100th anniversary, this podcast is supported by Cartier.
My name is Thomas Gibbsneff. I'm a journalist at the New York Times. I served in the Marine Corps as an infantryman. When it comes to reporting on the front line, a lot of the same basics are at play. You're looking at the map of where you're going. If you're on a paved road, field roads, you know, is there a hospital nearby? Is your body armor affixed with the first aid kit? Does everyone know where that first aid kit is? We arrive into a military position. I get out of the car. I look at my watch. You know, I set a timer, no more than an hour. I'm listening for drones, jets, check in with the team. Is everyone comfortable? And if they are, then we proceed. Frontline reporting is dangerous, but I think nothing is more important than talking to the people involved, you know, hearing their stories and being able to connect that with people thousands of miles away. Anything that can make something like this more personal, I think, is well worth the risk. New York Times subscribers make it possible for us to keep doing this vital coverage. If you'd like to subscribe, you can do that at nytimes.com/subscribe.
Here's Sandra Oh.
I gravitated towards this story because, first, the title is so fantastic. The secret to marriage is never getting married. There's a lot of truth in that, and there's a lot of humor in that. And I am not married, and I have no plans to get married. I kind of really identify with that sentence. And I really like how she explores what coupleship is. She really defines it. She and Hans defines it their own way. And I feel a tremendous amount of freedom and independence in that.
Thanks again to Sandra for reading this week's essay. She just received an Emmy nomination for Outstanding Lead Actress for her performance in Killing Eve. Daniel Jones, the editor of the Modern Love column for the New York Times, says that the best personal essays show a combination of intelligence and vulnerability.
She's vulnerable in, you know, how she is able to talk about not marrying, but it's so smart in how she talks about what makes a long-term relationship. And instead of trying to explain it, she really reveals it in this one line that they share. Everything is telling me that's Kristen Schaal. And then how she sort of incongruously ends the essay with that line. I just thought, I'm going to let that stand. That's smart and moving at the same time.
Modern Love is a production of the New York Times and WBUR, Boston's NPR station. It's produced, directed, and edited by Jessica Alpert, Caitlin O'Keefe, and John Parati. Sound design and original scoring by Matt Reed. Our intern is Louisa Judge. The idea for the Modern Love podcast was conceived by Lisa Tobin. Iris Adler is our executive producer. Daniel Jones is the editor of Modern Love for the New York Times and advisor to the show. Music for the podcast courtesy of APM. And I want to give a heartfelt shout out to a Modern Love alum who is getting married, Amory Sievertson and Mike Moschetto. Congratulations, you two. Remember what we said at the top of the show. Doing the dishes is one of the secrets of a happy marriage. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. See you next week.